wrestling fans, are you ready?
Yes, 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 yes.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to rumble!
And now, please welcome at this time your hosts, Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau. You're listening to the next era of wrestling radio. This is Wrestle Rant Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Wrestle Rant Radio for Thursday, March 28, 2024. I'm Graham Jason Matthews. Hope you guys are doing well and having a great week so far. We are rolling on into WrestleMania week, less than a week away until WrestleMania week, obviously a little over a week away until WrestleMania itself. And we got a lot of interviews lined up starting today. For the first time in about a decade, almost exactly, and I did do that on purpose, yes. We got Jason Solomon, aka the Solomonster, back on Wrestle Rant Radio today. The initial time we had him on a decade ago to talk about his podcast, the origin of the show, and really rising through the ranks of wrestling podcasting and beyond. Today is an entirely different interview with Jason. Today we're talking House of Glory coming to Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend, and a week from tomorrow on Friday, April 5th. The tickets are available in the link in the description for this episode and on YouTube. The full video of this interview already available over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/WrestleRant. Give it a watch. Check out the article coming out soon for Fanside at DailyDDT.com covering House of Glory, their upcoming show, and why you should check them out over WrestleMania weekend. Awesome interview with Jason coming up in a few short minutes, and then Mr. Marceau, as I mentioned earlier, talking a very eventful edition of Raw from Monday night. As far as the other interviews coming here to the show and the channel and stuff like that in the coming days, weeks, whatnot, we've got my interview with soon-to-be WWE Hall of Famer Paul Heyman dropping tomorrow in article form on Bleach Report and in video form in the aforementioned YouTube channel, youtube.com/WrestleRant, so check it out when it drops first thing Friday morning. And then Becky Lynch will probably have drop, the article will drop, as well as the video next week, the week of WrestleMania. And then the audio of which will probably be included in the show in 2 weeks here on Wrestle Rant Radio. The Heyman interview I'll probably incorporate into the show next week. So a lot to look forward to here on Wrestle Rant Radio on the Wrestle Rant YouTube channel and article form as well. A lot to look forward to in the coming weeks, and I appreciate your support. If you want to support the show and check out new episodes every single Thursday, you can do so with WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Find the show, rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss a new episode every single Thursday. Without further ado, enjoy my exclusive interview with the House of Glory Commissioner himself, Jason the Solomonster Solomon. Graham Jason Matthews here from Wrestle Rant Radio. We're talking to Jason Solomon the Solomonster here today, ahead of a very busy week, not only just for him, the wrestling week itself, WrestleMania coming up, but Jason, you got a very busy schedule. You were just talking about this a second ago, but you got a live podcast next Thursday, next Tuesday, you're doing an on-air spot, next Friday, of course, what we're talking about here today, House of Glory. Jason, thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while since we've done one of these.
Yeah, it has been. So when I hit you up about a month ago about doing this, one, I knew you were busy, so I had to get you soon, early on to kind of schedule this. I'm a sucker for anniversaries. I think it was almost exactly 10 years ago from the day we last spoke for a spot like this, talking just the podcast at this point, and now you're like the fucking busiest man alive 10 years later. So I appreciate you taking the time, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So House of Glory, like I said, you're going to be very much responsible for the success of the show coming up next Friday. You're the commissioner, you're a commentator. Just to kind of run down the details here, Friday, April 5th, it's not competing with SmackDown, Supercard of Honor, any of that sort of stuff. It's actually earlier on in the afternoon at 3 p.m. that afternoon at the Trinity Center Urban Life, if I got that correct. Biggest match in the card, Mustafa Ali, Amazing Red. It's a joint show with Wrestling Revolver. So just kind of take me through, Jason, as far as what people can expect, because I saw that Santana, who's the current champion, House of Glory champion, will be there. Alex Shelley, Sami Callihan, the Rascals, among many other people, obviously. But just kind of take me through the show and what people can expect with this hot ticket for Mania weekend.
Well, we knew we wanted to do something tied into WrestleMania weekend and, you know, start to branch out a little bit. We run frequently, usually every month, from the NYC Arena in Queens. It's sort of our home base. And, the New York fans are fantastic. As, House of Glory grows and wants to continue to grow, this is going to be the beginning of more road shows. And it just made sense, Philadelphia being a big wrestling city, WrestleMania coming to town. And, doing something fun with another promotion, another indie promotion that, has made headlines and is doing really well. Sammy does a tremendous job with it. It just made sense to bring the two together. And it's our first time, working together on an event with Wrestling Revolver, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know the first three rows are sold out. We have general admission seats that are still available, so if people want to attend, they can. But it's going to be a big afternoon.
Wrestling Revolver, you hear about a lot as far as like hot independent scenes right now, or hot independent promotions, and House of Glory as well. Just kind of talk about as far as being the commissioner and kind of being in a prominent role in the promotion, how you guys kind of stay in the forefront of being like one of the most talked about indie scenes, not only just here in the Northeast, because that's where I'm based as well. So I hear a lot about you guys, and obviously from hearing you talk about it, but just the entire United States as well, and a lot of the free agents from all these different promotions making time to kind of check you guys out and have awesome matches there and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to us. You want to have that mix, I think, of not only young talent, student talent that are in the midst of being trained and starting their journey, but also established talent so that you can draw people in and frankly just put together some of the best matches you possibly can. So we have big names from all over the wrestling world. We have big names that come in from AEW and TNA and some who are free agents who, make a stop at House of Glory. And that's, done by design because we want to have that mix. We have great student talent that will appear on the shows. We have talent that are veteran talent to hog, and you may see them on TV one day, but they're kind of part of our core crew of guys. And it's great for them too to be able to work with some of the bigger names that we bring in. And so you look even at the most recent show that we had Mustafa Ali on that show against Alex Shelley, and we had Mike Santana against Penta. We've got Penta coming back. We have a show on Cinco de Mayo here in New York. He's going to be wrestling his brother, Rey Fénix, right? That's a pretty big match. So it comes down a lot to putting together the attractions and the matches that you think people want to see. That's really what it boils down to. When you're an independent promotion, you got to sell tickets. The independent promotions don't have these guaranteed multi-billion dollar media rights deals. So it's kind of old school. And you have to just put together cards that people want to see. And thankfully, a lot of our shows, especially recent shows, the building is packed. And if you've ever been to a House of Glory show where it's packed, it just has a different vibe to it. When you're in the middle of that, and I'm wearing many different hats, I'm doing a lot of different things. So for me, it's very cool to be even a small part of that and to be out in front of that crowd. There's no feeling like it.
How difficult is it to kind of, you talk about balancing that, being the commissioner and the commentator, because you started out as a commentator, taking on the commissioner role just a couple of years ago. How difficult is it to kind of do both and also taking on an on-camera role? Because for the longest time, obviously, having done your podcast for almost 2 decades now, it was just audio only, just hearing you on the podcast. Obviously, you've been doing the YouTube thing for a while now, but being front of the camera and then also in addition is still doing your commentating duties as well.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how things started. I'm going on 6 years that I've been working with House of Glory. It'll be 6 years this summer. And it just kind of started on a lark where, I was invited to come in and do a special pre-show that was being done before one of our big annual events, our summer show, High Intensity. And that went well. And I was sitting there and just watching the action. And I was invited to sit in and do commentary on one of the matches, which happened to be an Impact Wrestling World Title open challenge that was taking place on the show. Austin Aries was the champion at the time. And they had their crew. Again, it wasn't as if, oh, I have these great aspirations. This is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. A lot of things in my life, they are manufactured. It's almost like a happy accident the way it happens sometimes. And when an opening became available to do commentary on a full-time basis, I jumped at it. We've got a great crew. I get to work with, JD from NY, who does a tremendous job on play-by-play. I mean, his passion is just infectious for what he does. We have Dr. Hillary P. Wisdom. We won't talk about that guy. Nobody wants to talk about that guy. And he's also doing stuff. He's managing and he's wrestling on the independent scene. So that's how that came about. And as far as the commissioner thing, again, it was an opportunity that came up to be able to, be a part of the show in a different way, but also have somebody in that position who could be viewed as impartial. And so not leaning one way or the other, and I play it pretty straight, so it just made sense that that would be the role for me. And then there's other stuff too, it could be pre-show interviews or backstage interviews, really whatever they need before. It really is a collaborative effort. There's a lot of people involved on the audio end and the video end, and just, obviously the talent that have to come together to put these shows together and make them a success. And like I said, if I could even be a small part of that, it's very cool to be part of a team where everybody is working for the betterment of the promotion.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the evolution of the promotion in the past 5 years, especially like since COVID, just the matches you've guys been able to get, the buzz you've been able to secure, the stars you guys have brought in is just massive, especially with the free agent market and wrestling being what it is. You have Alex Shelley on the show, obviously. He's soon to be a free agent in a couple weeks. Santana is now a free agent from AEW. I mean, these guys were already appearing for House of Glory while with these other promotions, Shelley with TNA, Santana with AEW. So just talk about that as far as like, is it difficult to secure some of these people with the promotions they're already working with and getting those dates down? Or are they just prioritizing House of Glory and making it your job a lot easier?
Honestly, it's a mix of both. There are decisions made about bringing talent in that go above my head even. And so it can be difficult, from a scheduling perspective, but you have a lot of people who will come back. You see a lot of people repeating and coming back, and there's a reason for that because they enjoy working in front of that crowd. They enjoy working for the promotion. They know they're, going to be taken care of when they come in, and they're going to be put with the right people, and it just works. So that's why you see a lot of these names, whether it is a Santana. Matt Cardona was our champion, and you see Cardona all over the place. But for him to keep coming back, he obviously wants to do that. We've had other talent come in and say, without naming names, they'll say, "Look, whenever you want me, let me know, and I'll work it into my schedule. I love working in front of these people. I love working in this venue." So really the challenge would be, I guess, more so scheduling than anything else. If they're working other independent shows, or even if they are under contract to one of the bigger promotions, you have to be sensitive to that. But yeah, I mean, it's really a mix of both, and it's fun, when you could tell they want to be there. They're not just there. It's not just another booking. It's not just another weekend, that they enjoy being there. And they also want to be a part of what we're doing, because what we're doing is exciting right now. When you see, like you said, the name that we're able to bring in, you've got to be able to give them the right opponent and put them in the right situation. And we think more often than not, we're pretty good at that.
Can you talk about your specific role as the commissioner and being the impartial authority figure on the show? Is it important for you to stay impartial as opposed to, I know you've talked a lot over the years of like the overabundance in wrestling of authority figures on some of these shows, heel authority figures specifically. I feel like you're trying to do something different by not going down that route or being on these shows too often. And like even the cinematic stuff you guys have done, like every independent promotion might have a GM or something, but like that sort, I'm all over the place here, but like the cinematics here, I think you guys have also really excelled at. But as far as your role and not really going into that territory of doing what a lot of the mainstream promotions have done, other indie promotions, I feel like that's just the organic route that some people might take, but you specifically have kind of stayed away from that.
And I think that's by design. And that's not to say that it won't happen one day.
Sure.
But I think in doing that, when you think about something like that having an authority figure, like you said, it's very cliche. The longest time it was played out, especially in the bigger promotions like WWE with the general managers, it just got to a point where I think they needed to get away from that for a while, which they did. Now they're back to it and it feels fresh again. So yeah, I think they went in on that heel authority figure stuff a little too hard. I think it is important to have somebody who can just play it straight. If that changes at some point, if we feel like that's a direction to go in, then that's certainly, something we would entertain. But I do think it's important. I think you want somebody who has some degree of credibility with the fans, when it comes to making announcements, and whether it's a match announcement, or if in the middle of the show I have to leave the announce booth and go make an announcement about something that's happening on the show. I think that is important. I think you want to have somebody who can play that role.
As we wind down here, just talking to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And before you say anything, you mentioned the cinematic stuff. I think that's one of the coolest things that we've done in the last few years. And I've been a part of the filming of some of those. I was in a couple of them, and just to watch the process and just sort of take direction, whatever you need. But like, it's for somebody who's never done it before, when you kind of go hands-on with it and you see what's involved in that. It's a lot of work. We have some very talented people involved in putting that together. But I think it sets House of Glory apart from almost any other independent promotion out there. You just don't see other promotions doing that. And if you do, typically it's one of the big promotions that has TV and has the budget to do so. That was one of the things I love the most about Lucha Underground. You know, it was the entire thing was cinematic. They created their own little cinematic universe, and I thought it was shot incredibly well. And there just wasn't anything like that being done on an indie level. And so that's one example of something that we've done and continue to do that I think sets us apart.
Was literally just about to say the Lucha Underground aspect, which I know you're obviously a big fan of. Does that make you Dario Cueto by design or no?
Oh, no. I wouldn't go that far. I would love to be Dario Cueto. I
Sure.
don't I would never put myself in the same category, but it's sort of the same idea,
Yeah.
I think, in a way. But yeah, no, I would he's fantastic. And I know he's doing stuff now with MLW. I just think he to me was exactly what I wanted an
Yep.
authority figure to be in wrestling. Like, he came along at just the right time. I thought it was perfect.
And he's the ultimate heel authority figure too. I mean, I feel like we need him on like a grander scale, whether it be, I don't know if they're just not interested, but like a WWE or an AEW or something like that. He's great in MLW, but I don't know. You just
Yeah,
need that
no.
bigger platform, you know?
Yeah, he's fantastic. I think I know he's an actor. He's
Yeah.
done other acting work, so I don't know what his aspirations are, but I'm just glad he's still around doing stuff in wrestling.
Yeah, he's fucking great. But
Yeah.
when you talk about the roster that you guys have right now, a lot of these guys that are on your roster are not just talking about like the established names like the Alex Shelleys and the Santanas, but even someone like a bounty hunter, Brian Keith, just got signed AEW recently, and he was doing a couple shots in House of Glory not too long ago. A lot of these guys getting their start in House of Glory, Private Party many years ago, now obviously a part of AEW for the past 5 years. Just talk about the current roster, and I know as the commissioner you have to be impartial, but talking about names that you could see go on, and obviously everyone is the obvious answer, but big names that you're like, all right, that guy's going to be someone pretty big on a bigger level at some point in the not too distant future.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who I think one day people will be watching on their TV, whether it's NXT or AEW, you know, wherever it may be. You know, our current tag team champions, Main Event, Jay Lyon and Midas Black, have pretty big names on the independent scene. They've been at it for a while now. I think they have a tremendous act. I think they're great talents, and I think one day you will see them, you know, at a higher level. We have our cruiserweight champion who just won the belt back, Casey Navarro. He was champion for a while, some time back. He's wrestled all over. I mean, multiple promotions, not just House of Glory, but he only recently ventured back. He's our cruiserweight champion again. I think he's a tremendous talent. And I would be shocked if he doesn't land anywhere. And again, I don't want to name too many names, because then I'll end up leaving people out. But you know, I think of people like Encore, and we have a young kid on our roster who's super talented, Raheem Royal. And again, there's a lot of names like that. You can never know for sure how many will make it, you know, to the top, and how many won't. But I think the potential is very, very good that you will see some of these names on your TV screen in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I've seen Encore at Northeast Wrestling not too long ago. He's great. You mentioned Casey
Unbelievable
Navarro.
athlete.
Yeah, no, he's
Unbelievable
and he's got
athlete.
charisma for days too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that. I think at some point, I mean, you're obviously every other company's loss is your guys' gain as far as using him for as long as you can before he, ascends that next level, like you said. But even like a Casey Navarro, I mean, I'm surprised that WWE didn't pick him up when they had the chance last year. I mean, seemingly he had a trial and they didn't. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what goes into their decision making
Sure.
sometimes, but
Yeah.
like you said, you know, their loss is going to be everybody else's gain for however long he's available for.
Yeah.
And we certainly love having him in House of Glory.
Your favorite match that you've called or and at or excuse me, had a hand in kind of putting together for a show that you guys have had.
As much as I hate to give this man credit, because I feel like he was my nemesis for a while and still is, frankly. But one of the best talents in ring that we have on our roster right now is Charles Mason. And he was our crown jewel champion for a very long time, too long. And he had a match with his former heater, his former bodyguard, Carlos La Sombra Ramirez, several months ago. I of all the matches that I've had the pleasure and the opportunity to call, and I've called some cool things during my time, and I remember looking over at the other announcers, and we sort of all agreed that was the greatest match, I believe, in the history of House of Glory.
Wow.
And this was only a number of months ago. I had a role to play in that. You know, midway through the match, when it looked like the match might end in a count out, it might end some way that was not going to be very happy in the eyes of the fans. Yeah, I came out, restarted the match, made a no disqualification, and did not have any clue as to the level of insanity that I was about to unleash. There were some crazy things that happened during that match. But when it was over, you know, Ramirez got the win. It was a star-making moment for him. He's another one of those talents who I think is on the rise. That, to me, it's hard to vote for any match other than that one. I think that was certainly the craziest match that I've ever seen live in Hog or had the chance to call.
I think Ali and Amazing Red's going to give that one a run for its money next Friday at the show. I mean, on paper, that just sounds absolutely fucking amazing. So
yeah, and the word, you know, the term dream match gets thrown around a lot. Mm. But honestly, for a lot of fans, it is. You know, it's a match that has never happened before. And I had the chance to interview Ali a little bit before our last show and asked him about that. And he talked about the fact, you know, how much he respects Red. And, you know, when he was coming up, you know, the Amazing Red was an inspiration for him. But now his attitude is it's time for you to step aside and make room for the new guard. And I think Red would probably have something to say about that. And having the chance to get to know him a little bit more working for Hog over the years has been tremendous. You know, he's still training the talent of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't think of a better person to learn from than him. So his influence is still felt in a big way. I think it's safe to say they'll have their working shoes on next week.
I think it's going to be a tough match to top over Mania weekend. With all the wrestling that we're getting next week, Rock and move aside. Cody Rhodes getting his moment. Who gives a shit? I think this match is going to steal the weekend or come close. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, I appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be a big week coming up. Before I let you go, as far as the show itself, like I mentioned, it's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Trinity Center Urban Life. All the details are online. You can buy tickets. Like you said, first three rows sold out. I don't have it written down here for your Mania Week podcast as far as the address, because when I heard you talk about it, I couldn't write it down as far as where it is exactly, but you mentioned the Duncan Lounge in Philly. Just kind of give me some details on where people can check that out next Thursday at around 1 p.m.
Yeah, and I'll post more information on social media as we get a little bit closer. But what I'm going to be doing that week is coming into Philly. I'll be there anyway for the Hog Show the next day. But the day before, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be at the Duncan Music Lounge, which is at the iHeart Studios. It's technically in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. It's like right on the Philadelphia main line, you know, not too far from where all of the festivities are going on that weekend. We'll have limited space for Sound Off fans or any wrestling fans, frankly, who want to just show up. And I'm just going to be doing my WrestleMania predictions, which I always do predictions for the big shows. We were able to work it out where I'll be there. I'll be doing predictions. We'll make it interactive, maybe take questions from the audience. Maybe there'll be some other stuff. I don't know. We're waiting to see if I can confirm that. But that's going to be fun. That'll be 1 o'clock on Thursday, April 4th. And again, as we get closer, I'll post the address and any other information on Twitter, at Solomonster.
Fantastic. In addition to all the obvious streams and reviews and everything else you got going on the podcast on Sundays,
everything.
It's going to be that's a crazy week, man, especially for your content alone. That's wild.
Yeah. It's exhausting, but it's very fulfilling when you have different things, as I'm sure you know, because you're also always, you know, on the road, you're doing things. It's exhausting, but it's a lot of fun. And in the end, I'm sure it'll all be worth it.
Exactly, man. Always a rewarding weekend is WrestleMania weekend, including all the stuff you just mentioned. But like you said, dude, everyone can check you out in all the obvious places. In addition to those shows, on YouTube, Solomonster Sounds Off, your podcast every weekend, the streams, and on Twitter for all the information, like you mentioned, at Solomonster. Jason, 10 years too long, man. I appreciate you coming back on to talk all things House of Glory and everything else.
Thanks, Graham. I appreciate it.
Big thanks to Jason again for the time dropping back here in WrestleRant Radio for some awesome insight in House of Glory. Like I mentioned earlier, you can check out the video version of that interview right now over on youtube.com/WrestleRant and an article form coming soon to DailyDDT.com. Now let's bring on Mr. Marceau to talk all things Raw for Monday night, the road to WrestleMania, and so much more. Brother, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing great. Feeling the hype for WrestleMania as much as I am right now?
Oh, I can't wait.
I feel like coming off this Raw, it's going to be hard not to be excited for WrestleMania. And I've heard from a few people saying that the build has been up and down. We talked about the build ourselves at the end of last week's episode. But I kind of follow that up this week with a question to you. As far as Monday's Raw goes, was it among the best episodes in recent memory? We're going to be talking a lot about this today because this kind of dominated the wrestling talk in the first half of the week anyway. This was a great episode, and Cage Match had it as like the third best episode of all time behind the Owen and Eddie tributes. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was a really, really good episode for the opening and closing segments, the CM Punk appearance, the hot crowd, WrestleMania focus, and a lot more. Your thoughts on the episode, were you as high on it as I was and everyone else?
Yeah, I think it was probably one of the most well-rounded shows they've had in a while. I feel like there was like must-see stuff throughout the show, and I thought, like you said, I think it was worth the hype, and I thought it was a solid, solid show.
It's going to be tough to top for next week's Go Home show, I will say that much. They have two SmackDowns left, including tomorrow, one of which I will be out, be at both, actually, because one's next week at Mania Week, and I'll be there tomorrow, Mohegan Sun. Cody Rhodes, Roman, and Rock are not advertised for tomorrow, so there's really nothing to talk about from there. But before we get into Raw real quick, I do have to ask you this. Your thoughts on The Rock, not The Rock, rather, but Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, their face-off on Friday SmackDown from last week. Now, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good for what it was. Not great television, not must-see programming by any means. But kind of compare that to what we saw at the end of Raw on Monday night. It really was night and day. And I think my point still stands, as well as everyone else's concern, that Roman Reigns, despite being the nearly, 4-year running undisputed WWE Universal Champion, is feeling overshadowed in this program with Rock and Cody Rhodes. Rollins has his own match of Mania with Drew, so him kind of being a third or fourth wheel hardly matters. But Roman is the one facing and defending against Cody Rhodes on night two. Him feeling like the afterthought in all of this is worth mentioning, for as great as that angle was on Monday, that remains my top concern going into the weekend, that they're putting all their eggs in one basket with that night one main event, but not really focusing on Roman Reigns as much. Are you kind of feeling the same way about the build?
I mean, I think it is more Rock than Roman, but I feel like that could be in like the story, like down the line, like, oh, it was all more about you than it was about me. But clearly it's more about Rock and Cody at this point. Like, someone just randomly watching the show would think of the matches between them than Cody and Roman at this point.
I think it's impossible to see what we got on Monday night at the end of the show and not get Rock and Cody at some point. One-on-one. The tag team match is fine. I'm looking forward to the match. Obviously, they've done a really good job building that up specifically. Roman and Cody, not as much. But I think Rock and Cody's got to be inevitable, right? Especially since I think that segment essentially confirming one of the biggest fears going into the tag match was that, or on night two, that Rock and Cody were in cahoots, and what Rock really whispered to Cody back in January was that he was going to work with him to get the belt off of Roman. That is not the case. Unless Cody committed to getting the shit kicked out of him on Monday and getting busted open and it was all a ruse, like, that would be aces and eights level of stupid. When Bully Ray got the shit kicked out of him every single week by aces and eights.
Took a couple pinches.
For like 6 months, and then he was revealed as the leader. I'm thinking, okay, that is some Vince Russo level bullshit right there. And I don't even think he was with the company at that point, which is even worse. This would be something similar. I don't think we're going down that route. So if nothing else, that segment confirmed that to me. But, I mean, we got to be getting Cody and Rock at some point, right? Which is why I feel like they might have Rock and Roman win night one, which I feel like was already confirmed, to set up Bloodline rules for Sunday night. But specifically with having the Rock pin Cody. And then if and when, don't want to jinx it, but if and when Cody becomes champion on night two, you can run back Rock and Rhodes, rather, at some point down the road. Maybe even at SummerSlam with the championship on the line.
No, I think that's, like, just looking at the booking and looking what this, like, the scenery looks like. You have Rock pin Cody in the tag team match, and then you have Cody beat Roman, and then you run back Rock and Cody down the line.
I think that just makes the most sense. The execution of the whole angle was really well done. Cody opening the show, Rock interrupting, not saying a single word, which is what people wanted him to do, because obviously talking is his strong suit. And they were booing him Jericho style in 2012, which we know all too well. Which was a great angle back then. I thought it was really well done on Monday night, where he just comes out, doesn't say anything, and then goes to the back. And then people booed him because they wanted him to speak. And then he came back around at the end of the show to beat the shit out of him as the show went off the air while it was raining. Showing a little blood there as well, like I mentioned. It did not shy away from it. It was clearly fake blood, so they obviously embraced the blood, and it wasn't like it just happened accidentally. No, they did that on purpose. And Rock standing tall over Cody saying, you wanted it this way, and this now is the only way, and blah, blah, blah. Your thoughts on them kind of embracing, I don't want to say TV-14, but the blood and the more aggressive, you know, ending to the show is something we really haven't seen from the Raw brand or really just WWE TV in general in quite a long time. I talked about this yesterday in hashtag. I don't think the TV-PG era is coming to an end anytime soon, if ever, from WWE. It's not that simple. They can't just change the rating and then it's over. Like, they have sponsorships and partnerships and stuff like that. But I think what they did to Raw at the end of Raw on Monday night is a clear indicator. They're kind of pushing the envelope a little bit more, and I think that's an encouraging sign for the future.
Yeah, I think in certain situations, I think it is necessary, and I think on Raw it kind of hammered home just kind of the bad blood, no pun intended, like they have, and kind of how serious it's taken. So I don't think putting it all over the show is definitely necessary, and I don't want it to go that direction. But I think in certain situations, blood, I don't know, it's not that it enhances it, but it just, like, kind of reiterates, like, what's going on. Like, when you have a cage match, it probably should be a blood. I mean, that's something I have always felt like, and it's like a blood match, and it's like kind of like the last match of a feud. It should kind of spark a little extra than what normally happens. So with small doses in the right situations, I think blood is definitely necessary.
That's the key right there. Small doses in the right situations, and not just to turn this into a WWE versus AEW deal, but we see blood a lot in AEW in a lot of different matches. And a lot of the time it's like, okay, that makes sense because it's a hardcore match. But the problem is they do those hardcore matches, the street fights, the death matches, the no DQ matches, whatever you want to call it, way too often to the point where they just don't really mean anything, and therefore blood doesn't really mean anything. And I don't want to just rag on, like, Jon Moxley specifically, because I feel like, not feel like, I think I read somewhere, he actually has not bled in a very long time. And if he did recently, he hadn't done it in a long time prior to that point, to give him credit. Not that he hasn't really done much as of late to require blood. I think he might have bled at Revolution against FTR, but before that he had not bled in a long time, to my knowledge. And that sounds like an accurate statement, because I don't think he was bleeding in the Continental Classic at the end of the year. But yeah, no, I think they're doing a really good job of making this stuff matter, adding to the storyline. And like I said, it's going to be tough to top it for next week. We know Rock's on Raw next week. We know Roman's on Raw. Obviously, Cody and Rollins are going to be there. I think it's safe to say that whatever they have in store for that final Raw in Brooklyn next Monday night, they need to have Cody hit a home run and not go into WrestleMania looking like a bitch. I mean, he's a great underdog, don't get me wrong, but he cannot get the shit kicked out of him every single week. I mean, it's not like he got the shit kicked out of him on SmackDown. He really hasn't been laid out that, you know, all that too many times. But he got destroyed by Rock on Monday, and people were even saying a week ago on SmackDown that Roman got the better of him on the microphone. So I think they really need to have Cody go out there on Monday and not, like, lay out both Rock and Roman at the same time, but they need to show him, or need to show the rest of the audience, that Cody is on the same level as the Rock and is not just going to go in there and get shit talked to or get the shit kicked out of him. I think that's pretty important come Monday night.
No, I completely agree. I think going to WrestleMania kind of not make him more credible, but he, like I said, he needs to at least get a little bit of something. But, I mean, I like what they're doing with him now. I don't think you have to really veer off that too far. But, I mean, I think getting a little upper hand, even that just, like, I don't know, fighting them off and hitting, like, Solo with a Cody Cutter or something. Like, just leaving Raw on top definitely would go a long way, if you ask me.
Yeah, and maybe it sends the message, too. Listen, if he stands tall over Rock and Roman to close out Raw, again, not single-handedly taking them out by himself, because that would completely defeat the purpose of him being outnumbered by the bloodline and this whole storyline, this whole narrative they're trying to tell you, the narrative they're trying to get across. But just kind of being the last one standing come Monday night, because it might send the message, hey, if he's standing tall on Monday, he might not win this weekend. And I still expect him to lose on night one. But, you know, it's very possible they lose on night one and you're thinking, well, that automatically means Cody's winning night two. Not necessarily. I mean, he would be the biggest loser if he loses both nights. The biggest loser. And listen, I'm a Cody guy. Not just a... Oh, not like, oh,
you're
Cody...
You're a crybaby?
I'm a Cody crybaby. I'm a Cody crybaby, but not to the point where it's like, you know, he needs to... It's not... Because I've said this before, and people get this misconstrued when I talk about it. Like, especially when that initial angle happened when Cody stepped aside for The Rock in January, which was so fucking stupid. It's not because Cody Rhodes is my favorite wrestler in the world. I'm just advocating for what makes sense and what I want to say. I mean, I do want to see Cody win the championship. He is, to me and a lot of other people, the guy. But I just feel like, as we've said time and time again, it's worth reiterating, him losing would do a lot of damage to that championship, to the bloodline story, to Cody Rhodes, to the product. I mean, you don't build up this goodwill with the audience and then just throw it the fuck away by having Roman Reigns retain again. It was bad enough last year. I'm not going to say they can't pull it off again, because they absolutely could. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but I just don't see the benefit in doing that. I know we share the same sentiment on that as well.
Yeah, last year I feel like there was a more of an argument to keep it going. Mm-hmm. This year, I just, like you said, I feel like he'd pretty much be dead in the water if he lost again.
And it doesn't even matter if they would do a third match or keep him in chase mode. Dude, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, at that point, there is no third match. Because if there is the third match, I will be one of those people. I will be one of the fickle fans that I talk about that boos Cody come that point. Because it's like, at this point, who gives a shit? And I said that to you last year. You can check back the archives. I know you agreed with me then that Cody should win at WrestleMania. Because if he doesn't, come the second match, people probably will not care. And I was wrong on that. I mean, I was wrong in the sense that people do care and we're still behind him. They got really fucking lucky that people have not turned on Cody in the past year. Some people have, but a lot of the majority of the audience is still very much behind Cody, which very much shocks me, because there's been a lot of instances where WWE will, you know, not strike when the iron's hot, and they'll hold out when it doesn't really matter anymore. They'll hold out an entire year, and at that point, someone else has come along that's hotter, or someone else has made more sense to dethrone Roman than Cody Rhodes. But that hasn't happened yet. They got really, really lucky. So I'm hoping they don't make that same mistake twice come WrestleMania and Cody does walk out the new champion. If nothing else, that we could just move the fuck on from Cody talking about his story, from the Roman Reigns record bullshit, all this other nonsense. Now, one more thing I will mention about that post-credit scene, the fucking show closing angle on Monday night. At WrestleVotes pointed out, and I mean, it's something that's been pretty apparent if you've been watching the Triple H product for the past 2 years, year and a half, that everything they do is for a reason. Now, when Rock first brought Cody outside, I noticed that as soon as they went outside, you could see a WWE truck in the distance. Now, could that have just been there? Absolutely. There's a very good chance this was purely just a coincidence. But they have a lot of Mania trucks right now, a lot of Mania production trucks that they're hauling around, and they have them outside of the arenas. They specifically didn't go up to it and showed it, but it was just in the background. They specifically had this one positioned there with Stone Cold on the side of it along with John Cena. Now, again, at WrestleVotes responded saying nothing is done by accident. Stuff like that I would think is... And it's not like they shied away from showing it, too. The shot they showed of Rock beating up Cody pretty clearly had that truck in the background. And it wouldn't be the first time, but for that truck specifically, just the timing is very bizarre. One, do you think it's intentional? And two, if it was, what do you think that means for WrestleMania?
I think it 100% was intentional. And I feel like we'll get some kind of Cena, Rock, something at WrestleMania.
Rock, no Stone Cold. You said Cena, but no Stone Cold.
Cena and Stone Cold, man. My bad.
Okay, so listen.
I mean, like you said, they have all those WrestleMania trucks that they've been promoting and hauling all the stuff. All of a sudden, they just show up that random one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't seem right.
I don't know. I don't want to get too excited here, because I just feel like, and I said this the other day, that if you've ever seen Avengers Endgame, if you're any fan of any good comic book movie, but specifically that one, where they have all the heroes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe show up and take down Thanos. Rock is literally, dude, I know Roman's the... Rock is calling himself the final boss. Roman Reigns is the champion of 4 years. He has been the Thanos of WWE for the past 4 years. The Rock is now the new bad guy. He literally has the Thanos entrance coming out with the fucking electricity, which is just amazing. I know that reference is lost on you, but I just wanted to point that out. It was really fucking cool. But my point being that they have all the heroes come out, take down the big bad guy in that movie. Spoiler alert, came out 5 years ago. It's got to be the same.
Wait, that happened? Fuck, I was going to watch it.
It was on your watch list for tomorrow, I know. They have Rock, Roman, the bloodline in the ring. And listen, I would go completely all out. I know we shit on and shy away from, overbooking and interference. We know there's going to be interference.
We already know this match is going to be overbooked.
Exactly, dude. We know it's going to happen, so you might as well just go all out with it.
Lean into it, yeah.
Exactly. Lean into it. Either don't do it at all, which they're going to, or lean into it. completely embrace it and just go balls to the wall with it. And we got some good interference last year up until that ridiculously dumb finish with Solo coming back out with the dumb hoodie, which they have to revisit that and they have to do the exact same thing. I mean, bring out, I'm talking like not just those guys, but I'm talking Tama Tonga. I'm talking Jacob Fatu. Like, holy shit. Like, Solo debuted at Clash of the Castle, helping Roman retain a year and a half ago. He debuted at that point, helping him retain. Do the same thing here. Make people think that they're debuting and they're going to help him retain. I feel like that would be the best swerve possible. And then Cody kicks out at the last second.
I think, like you said, if you're going to, I think if they're going to do the bloodline rules and all that stuff, you might as well at that point just overbook the shit out of it and just lean all into it. So I'm here for all of it.
I'm here for all of it. I think it's just the best route to take. I think not only that, but like we said, Cena, Stone Cold, and I know, listen, dude, Stone Cold has nothing to do with the bloodline ever. He's never interacted with, what'd you say?
The Rock.
No, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
At least Cena, like, faced Roman in the bloodline and he kind of makes sense.
No, he 100% makes sense because if Solo's out there, and guess what? He will be, as he has been for every main event for the past year and a half. The last time we saw Cena on the show was getting beat down and destroyed decisively by Solo Sikoa at Crown Jewel a number of months ago.
And so, Solo did nothing after to capitalize on it.
Did you see that stat where Solo has not won a match since then?
Yep.
Dude, what the fuck? That's terrible. Not even in untelevised matches. He's losing every house show match he has as well. This is the same guy that went undefeated for like a year. And now the guy can't win a match to save his life. Like, what the fuck?
Love it.
That's ridiculous. No wonder he doesn't have a WrestleMania match. No one gives a shit at this point. But yeah, I mean, they have to have Cena come out. I mean, I'm thinking, I said this to someone the other day, but like, imagine a situation, and I don't know at what point in the match this would happen, but imagine a situation where Cena's music hits, someone else's music hits, and then Stone Cold music hits. Not like, I mean, I guess it would make sense, I guess, to separate it out, but I was thinking more along the lines of Mania 32, when Shawn Michaels came out after that completely pointless League of Nations New Day match, and then Michaels came out, Mick Foley came out, and then Stone Cold came out. Like, that was outstanding. It accomplished nothing. I mean, it was just a moment. I mean, that whole Mania was a bunch of moments. 32 was a pretty mediocre show. But I wanted to see something similar here where it makes sense. They all have history with the Bloodline or The Rock, and he gives one more stunner to The Rock. And man, I really don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And people saying, oh, get Orton out there. Get this guy out there. I mean, those guys are going to be busy in other matches. Like, Owen, Zayn, they're all doing their own thing on the show, so I don't think they come out. But I think a Cena or a Stone Cold, at the very least them, would make a whole lot of sense. Obviously, Rollins as well, but, you know, a Jay too, but, you know, beyond them, I'm thinking Stone Cold, Cena, that place would come fucking unglued. I know I had seen another tweet, and I don't know how serious it was, saying that The Undertaker could show up. I don't know about that. Now, I know Roman Reigns put down the Dead Man back at 33 in that terrible match that we were there
for.
But
he has nothing to do with the Bloodline, so
I know, he has something to do with Roman. They have history, but the Bloodline, no, and Taker can't probably do much at this stage. I know he's not like 100 years old, but in wrestling years, he might as well be. It's like dog years. That guy's like a fucking 100 years old. So probably not. But Stone Cold and Cena? And Stone Cold's, I think, older than Taker, but when we saw him 2 years ago, he looked great, so I don't really mind it. But yeah, man.
No, I think, like I said, I think for specific people, like, if we were having, like, this whole thing, like, if, like, Jay came out or, like, someone that, like you said, like, you named, like, you don't need to hit their music. I feel like them specifically, they just can run out. But with, like, a Stone Cold or Cena, you hit the music.
I don't know,
like,
man.
I don't know. Like, they're just, like, they're all beating up on someone. And, like you said, like, Seth or Jay hit the ring. Like, you don't need their music. But, like, if Cena and Rock, you have to hit the music.
You have to. I mean, we've been joking, and everyone's been making the memes for well over a year now. It was cinema. This segment is cinema. Blah blah blah. This whole Bloodline stuff is cinema. If you really want to capitalize on the cinema talk, you do something like that. I mean, seriously, like that's a movie Mania moment right there. And then Roman still wins.
I was gonna say, and then all that, and then Roman still wins with the spike.
And here's the
Solo
thing.
Solo comes back with a hoodie.
Another hoodie. This time a red hoodie or something, yeah.
Honestly, I don't know who it is. I'm shocked every time.
He showed up on Monday with the hoodie. I'm like, oh, it's Solo Sikoa. I'm shocked.
I'm going to be shocked when it happens at WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. But listen, I also have to point this out, too, about that angle. And I have to make this very clear because I said that on Tuesday. I tweeted that. And a few people responded with what I expected them to. And that some people had said, well, they shouldn't be winning for Cody, right? And I said, listen, I completely agree. I don't want to see Stone Cold out there. And we kind of saw something similar last year with Owens and Zayn where they beat up Roman and Cody was going to pin him. That would have been dumb. I would have liked the finish because Cody won, but yeah, I agree that's kind of silly. But I don't want to see a finish where Stone Cold comes out, Cena comes out, they hit Roman specifically with the stunner, the AA, and then they like take a gun and shoot the guy, and that's what is really what puts down Roman for the three count. No, I think they have to thwart the interference from the Bloodline, and then Cody and Roman have the rest of their match. Again, maybe that's what you do. You have Cena and Stone Cold come out. They pin, you know, or pin, not pin, they take out Jay or Jimmy, rather, and Solo and whoever else, Heyman, whatever. And then people thinking Brock, I mean, Brock's got other issues right now. I mean, Brock would have been cool in an alternate universe, but considering the current circumstances, probably not. But you can have all those guys come out. It comes down to Roman and Cody. Roman spears Cody and pins him, but he kicks out, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. You could really capitalize on the heart attacks that people might have if Roman retains again. And I think you can really have fun with this because I've said this to you before, like WWE's questionable booking decisions at times over the years has actually played in their favor when it comes to matches like this and enhancing the suspenseful near falls because there's a chance they might go with the wrong winner and have Roman retain. There's a very good chance that happens. But I think Cody has to win on his own, though.
I will say, I know like you've mentioned Brock and like, whatever. I don't know. There were rumors that they're trying to get him back, whatever. Really, I haven't heard anything about it since. But, I mean, theoretically, the last time we saw Brock, he was shaking Cody's hand and acknowledging him and all that stuff. And, like, he had gone through the whole Bloodline. Like, storyline specifically, it would make sense. Like, showed respect to Cody. We haven't seen him since. He got screwed over by the Bloodline 1,000 times. Like, I mean, like I said, obviously, we don't really know what's happening with him. But there was a rumor a few months ago, like, that they were trying to work on him coming back. But
Yeah. I just, the only thing I don't like about that is that I feel like it would, the Cody winning or Roman retaining whatever would be the top story, but then people would then go into, why is Brock back? Did you clear his name? And then it just takes away from the moment. Like, that's the only thing I don't really like about that is where people would, that's,
I mean,
all their,
technically he was never specifically named, but
No, I agree. But there, he's obviously not around for a reason. I mean, he was involved and just the,
hunting.
What'd you say?
He was hunting.
It's just the implication that he was involved in some form or fashion with this sicko. Obviously not on the same level as Vince, but, you know, I mean, they would have to pretty much establish, like, if he was to come back, I still don't think he's coming back. I guess he definitely could. I just don't really see the point either. I mean, I like Brock's most recent run was great, don't get me wrong, and I enjoy Brock a lot, but if it's not, I just don't think it's worth the headache is the thing with Brock Lesnar. In a moment like this, it's going to be this amazing moment. You know there's going to be people pissed. Well, why did they bring Brock back? And I would agree with that. Like, why did they bring him back? What changed between now and January?
That makes sense, that's why.
From a storyline standpoint, but I would say from a realistic standpoint, from a real life standpoint, that might take priority. That's my only concern. I just don't want it to overshadow what we're getting in that moment, you know?
No, like I said, I get it, but like he would make more sense than Undertaker or Stone Cold.
No, he absolutely would because he did show respect to Cody. I honestly would not be shocked if they had done that angle on purpose with the intention of paying that off at a later date. Actually, no, I take that back. They did not do that on purpose because Brock
did it on his own.
Exactly. So never mind. That would make, not that it would make sense, but they definitely did not plan that far in advance. That was totally an off the cuff thing, like you said. But listen, it would be an amazing moment. I want to see them just go all out with this shit, really make it something worth, memorable, worth remembering, rather, and a WrestleMania-worthy finish with Cody Rhodes finally ending the story, winning on his own, becoming champion. Cena's there, Stone Cold's there, maybe they raise him up on their shoulders and kind of put him over as the new face of the company. I mean, man, the potential here is awesome. And if they don't do something along those lines, then I don't want to say they got people's hopes up for nothing, because they never said, oh, Stone Cold's going to be there, Cena's going to be there, I'm going to have backup at Mania. Like, he never said that. So, I mean, we're just putting this out into the ether and thinking, out of the universe and thinking, oh, this is what they might do. There's a very good chance they don't show up. I mean, I saw the report yesterday, I think from PW Insider or the Wrestling Observer, whatever. And they were like, yeah, they made a pretty, you know, good offer to Stone Cold to do something at Mania, but there's been no talk about it since. I mean, that could be at work. You know, maybe he doesn't show up. We don't know. But I feel like with it being Mania 40, they're in Philly, the 25-year anniversary of the last Philly Mania with Rock and Stone Cold in the main event, man, it just makes sense. And that's what I want to see him do. I got to bring this up to you for Monday night as well before we wrap up here in a little bit. The Punk-Drew Rollins segment from Monday night was just excellent, tremendous television. And I think the best part about it wasn't really any one particular thing they said, although there were a lot of great lines. The Vince thing was like, I can't believe they did that, but it was really fucking funny with Punk being like, who called you the Chosen One? What was his name? And that was amazing. You got the Cornette shout-out in there. I immediately thought of you when I heard that. I was dying laughing from that. Typical Punk stirring the fucking pot with that one. That was funny. A lot of ones. The Drew thing with the kill, don't look up my kill. He said, PG, brother. At one point, he was like, you know, for a guy that doesn't drink or smoke, you do spend a lot of time in rehab. That was a money fucking line. That was amazing. The whole thing was great. Rollins was also really, really good. But I think the top takeaway here was the fact that it was a really lax promo. And they just kind of went out there with an outline of what they wanted to say, apparently. And then they just kind of went off the cuff and turned into great TV. And they're not like waiting for the other one to finish their promo. They're like talking over each other. It's an organic conversation. So I thought it was amazing. What were your thoughts?
No, I thought it was really good. Like you said, I think it was a great back and forth. Felt very off the cuff and realistic and not scripted. And I thought the lines were great by everyone. It was, like, really good television.
Just great stuff. And we did find out during the process that Punk will be at WrestleMania, which he kind of made clear last week in a quick video. But he will not be the special guest referee. They did lean into it. I'm glad they even acknowledged it, because it would have been dumb for them to just be like, oh, he's the commentator, and then not even tease the possibility of him being the referee. I mean, the fact he's not the referee is disappointing, but he did say a couple things. One, he still had that arm brace on his hand, on his arm, which I haven't seen him wearing otherwise. He doesn't post videos with it, so I don't know if he just did that for TV or if he actually does need it. I don't know. But he has that limitation physically. But also, he even mentioned, like, guys, I don't know if I can be an impartial referee. I hate both of these guys' guts. So that also makes sense. So I'm glad they brought that up as to why he's not the referee. But being the commentator is cool, too. He will obviously get involved in some form or fashion. What do you make of CM Punk's role at WrestleMania?
No, I like what it is. Like I said, I think they kind of covered up the right, like, loopholes. Like I said, he said himself he can't be impartial to both the guys. He's like either of them. So I think it makes sense. And like I said, I think him being involved just adds a little bit extra. And then we get a little bit more heat for that eventual Drew match.
I think that Drew and Seth, yeah, no, exactly. And I think that Seth and Drew match, I'm looking forward to anyway, but we've already seen it twice in recent months. They needed an extra something to make this match, like give it some extra oomph, whether it be like a stipulation or not a loser leaves WWE because Rollins ain't fucking leaving. We know his contract's up in June. Drew's contract's up a lot sooner than that, I believe. But with Drew specifically, they could have said, listen, if you're, I mean, this would be his third loss to Rollins. So if you're done, if you lose, then you're done. Then you have to leave the company. That would make more sense to me. And that doesn't make it obvious that Drew's winning either, because he could be taking time off. I think that's a very big possibility. But they're not doing that. They're just putting Punk. It's on a stipulation, but he will be at ringside. How do you think he factors into the finish? Because I'm thinking he might accidentally go for Drew, but kick Seth by accident or punch him, whatever. And then Drew ultimately capitalizes and wins the World Heavyweight Championship, adding heat to the Rollins match. Drew is champion, maybe for when Punk comes back. A lot of different ways they can go with this.
I think it's what you said. I think if he gets involved, he'll try to help or try to hit Drew, and he'll hit Rollins by accident and cause Rollins to match.
For as much as I like the segment, I think the big issue, the only one issue I had with it, was the fact that they kind of sold me on a match that we're not getting yet. Or actually two matches, Punk and Rollins, which I was already looking forward to, but specifically Punk and Drew. I mean, that was the match that they've been building since, you know, Drew attacked him, and that's going to be the match they do in a couple of months when Punk's ready to come back. But we're not getting that match at Mania. They need to keep the focus on Drew and Seth, and they did that on Monday. Not to a great extent, but I'm looking forward to the match regardless. And I think, again, you need to do a good job of not overshadowing the people that will be involved in the main picture. A lot like with Rock, Roman, and Cody and whatever. They need to make sure that CM Punk is not overshadowing what we're getting with Rollins and Drew, which is all about the World Heavyweight Championship, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think, like you said, sold on those two matches. Unfortunately, neither of them are having a WrestleMania, but I think they're doing a good job, like, building up what they have now and kind of foreshadowing down the line, like, matches we can get.
Yeah, and I don't think the outcome is obvious either, like I said. The same way for the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania, Gunther and Sammy. Listen, I don't really know who's going to win. I think Sammy's going to win the championship. I could see a situation where Chad Gable cost him. But this is what kind of throws me for a loop here. Bronson Reed beat Sammy on Monday, which I fucking loved. I thought that was great, actually. Bronson Reed doesn't win a lot of important matches. That was probably the biggest win of his Raw career on the main roster. They had a good match. But the reason I think Sammy wins at WrestleMania is because you can then have Bronson challenge Sammy coming out of maybe in the post-WrestleMania Raw or the next pay-per-view, whatever, for that championship. And Chad Gable's also there. I could see him facing Bronson Reed in 2 weeks in the post-Mania Raw, and then after that, Chad Gable turns on Sami Zayn. I could totally see that. But I could also see Gunther retaining as well, which is kind of what I prefer. So where are you at right now at the Intercontinental Championship picture and Sami losing Monday? Does it make it more obvious that Sami Zayn will win at WrestleMania, or do you think Chad ultimately cost him the victory after all the interactions those two have had on Raw in recent weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Sami doesn't need to win. So if I had to pick, I would say he loses. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he needs it. Like I said, winning on Raw, losing to Bronson Reed, I mean, it kind of took me by surprise, honestly. But we'll see what happens. I think if I had to choose, I'd rather him lose than win. I just feel like, I don't know, what is he, every year he's just going to have like this underdog win and just always win the big match.
Yeah.
So if it was up to me, he'd lose. And like I said, maybe we'll get him and Chad and then someone else beat Gunther. But if I was leaning one way or the other, I'd say he loses.
Yeah, I mean, I want him to lose, and that's nothing against Sammy himself. It just more has to do with the fact that, again, it's the same thing with Roman, where whoever beats Gunther really should benefit. And I do not want to see a situation where he just drops the belt by vacating it, like Samoa Joe style or a lot of other people, Asuka style. I just fucking hate that. You build up someone for so long, you want to put someone else over in the end. I just don't like that. I know they might want to keep him undefeated for that eventual world title win. I get that as well. But you can always have him lose in a triple threat or something like that. And this is not a triple threat. So I would keep him strong, have him win at WrestleMania. I still say Chad Gable's the guy to beat him, but that window gets smaller and smaller by the week as far as the odds of that actually happening. But I am liking what they're doing with the IC title picture. I'm looking forward to the match, having Bronson and Chad in the mix, in addition to Gunther and Sammy is great. It's a lot like with the women's title picture. With Becky and Rhea, you have Nia and Liv on the outside looking in, who probably won't end up on the Mania card as of now. They haven't even announced the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. They'll probably wait until SmackDown on Friday to announce it for a week out, or just wait until Monday. They just could not give two shits about it, because it obviously means nothing, because who cares? But yeah, I think I like what they're doing with the people on the outside looking in, because it sets up future challengers for these people coming out of WrestleMania. I think that's what makes it even better. One last thing here, and no AEW talk, I mean, just because I watched the show last night. Last week when we spoke, I had not watched the show yet. I did watch it last night. I liked the show. There was absolutely nothing really about it that stood out. They're just kind of building the dynasty right now. We have a new TNT champion and a new Continental champion as of last week. That's cool. The finish to Edge and, not Edge, but Adam Copeland and Christian was something else. That was a pretty dumb finish. I know you, I didn't like it. I know you fucking.
I liked it.
You were seething, I'm sure. And I don't blame you.
I guess, like I said, I just don't understand. Like, he was going to hit him in the balls with this thing that has nails on it.
Yeah.
And he didn't quit. He just took it. But then after you got, he was about to get hit in the head with it. Like, it's like, theoretically, it could be like murder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, seriously.
He quit because he was a little about to get murdered. I don't know. I feel like it was a little bit much. But, I mean, hey, at least Adam Copeland's the TNT champion now and didn't lose it after 2 minutes. So.
Yeah, no, and the timing is funny, too, because they're bringing back the Adam Copeland Open Challenge or whatever, which is cool. But the timing is amazing because Tony Khan literally just said yesterday or the other day, hey, we're reinstating the rankings again, because they brought them back at the beginning of January, completely forgot about them after a month, and now they're re-updating them. So it's like, okay, then what does it even mean if Copeland's going to be doing an open challenge anyway? Like, this is the whole reason why the rankings don't really matter. I appreciate the attempt. I think the rankings are cool to follow along with, but if you're not going to actually update them, then what's the fucking point? But I thought the show last night was fine. Actually, one more quick thing, in addition to another talking point I want to ask you about. But Mania probably headed to Minneapolis. They'll either announce it next week before we speak. I'm going to see you on Saturday, but before we speak next year on the show, they'll announce it at some point, but probably going to Minneapolis. We know SummerSlam is going to Cleveland. Interesting location. I've never been to Cleveland. I've heard it's a dump. We were joking about it over text the other day, just saying, like, Detroit and Cleveland. They were in Nashville, which was fun. I mean, these were all, you know, fun times. Detroit exceeded my expectations. But yeah, your thoughts on the upcoming locations for SummerSlam set in stone. Logan Paul, I assume, will have a big part in that show because he was the one that announced it. He's from the area. And Mania probably headed to Minnesota finally. I feel like we've been hearing about this for a decade plus with Mania headed to Minnesota.
No, yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota, like you said, Minnesota and Vancouver, I feel like been the ones that people have been clamoring for the most.
Yeah.
Nothing on Vancouver, obviously, but no, I think Minnesota has a really nice stadium. I think it like makes sense. I mean, obviously that's where the AWA was kind of focused and big wrestling territory. So surprised they haven't really gone there since. I don't even know if they've ever really been. I mean, besides like WrestleMania, like in Detroit, I feel like that's probably the closest they got to Minnesota.
Yeah.
For like a big show. So I mean, I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, no, I heard it's a nice stadium. They've been talking about it for a decade plus, and of course the time where they probably would announce it, and he might be back by then. Who knows? Is a year where Brock is no longer with the company. Because there was this talk for so many years.
Coming
oh, Brock.
Back.
Listen, he might. If his music hits during that main event a night two, I'll say that you called it.
You're going to fall out off the balcony.
I mean, it would be a cool moment. I'm just thinking, it might be one of those memes where it's like, oh, man, this is awesome. And then it's like, oh, man, this is problematic. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Am I going to sit there and be like, man, fuck this company. This is ridiculous. No, I'm not. But I'm just trying to play it impartial here and say, like, it is definitely, they would have to clear up why they took him off TV in the first place. If he isn't guilty, which I agree, like he's not named in the same way that Vince was. Yeah, he was involved, but he's not as guilty as Vince is for all the shit that he was accused of. But then they have to also clear up because they distanced from him pretty fucking hard. Like they took him out of the video game immediately. And you don't do that unless.
Yeah, I also think at the time they honestly didn't really know the extent.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I don't know. That press conference will be interesting though. So I guess we'll find out if he does show up. And if he doesn't, then, you know, then that's no problem too. But I did want to ask you about this real quickly. Ronda Rousey making the rounds, but not really the rounds. Rick, a buddy of mine actually, who you know as well, one of the media guys, he actually interviewed
Rick,
Ronda.
Rick, the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. He actually was the one that interviewed Ronda last week. The interview went up on Monday. Went viral. People talking about it all Monday. Quotes about her new book and her run in WWE. Basically, what I want to ask you, and we've talked about it before while she was still in WWE, where did she go wrong in wrestling? And I know you followed her UFC career as well. She had another aura in that company, and you know, she had this whole energy around surrounding her as far as being the special attraction. She comes to WWE. We were there for the debut at the Rumble in 2018. It was a great moment. She had a great run. She comes back, and she can't quite capture that same magic. Now, she shit all over Vince. I'm not going to argue with that. But a majority of her run, I know Vince was kind of here and there during her most recent run, but most of it fell under Triple H, and she's not really acknowledging that. So why even come back if Vince is such a sicko? A lot of questions there, but where did WWE or where did Ronda Rousey go wrong during her most recent run in the company?
I mean, wasn't this like, didn't she come back and she was like talking about how much she fucking hated wrestling fans and shit?
Initially or just recently?
Before she came back the second time.
Yeah, how much she hated fans, but yeah, that was a little different.
Okay,
but it, yeah,
so I think
did.
That was half the problem. I mean, they bring her back, they wanted her to be a babyface and she just wasn't. She just also was just not a good babyface to begin with. And I just feel like the first time I mean, Becky mentioned it, yeah, so I feel like they kind of protected her more in the first run on, like, in-ring and all that stuff. And the second time, they kind of, like, made her seem like she was, like, a normal performer, and she just, hey, like Becky said, she's just not that good.
I died. Someone shared the clip. I think it was the the Public Enemies podcast. It's one of those accounts that gets a lot of engagement. Excuse me. But they had tweeted that the initial tweet from someone else was like, Ronda had mentioned in the interview, I don't know if she mentioned in the interview to Rick or in her book, she was like, I can't settle for mediocrity. I think she said it to Rick, actually. She told Triple H, I can't settle for mediocrity. And then that Twitter account, I think the Public Enemies account or whatever it was, said, oh yeah, Triple H must have said the same thing to her because it was a video of one of her promos and how just abysmal it was. Like, it was pretty clear by the end there, she just did not care. And, I mean, that was partially her fault as well. The booking wasn't right. I just feel like the company also kind of needed her more in 2018. When she came back in 2022, they were at a point where they didn't even really need her anymore, and the women were enough of an attraction where Ronda, I don't know, she was also a babyface from the get-go. They just didn't really need her anymore. And I liked Ronda's first run. Her second run got off to a decent start, but the matches also weren't very good, and part of that falls on her
yeah,
as well.
She was, like, stuck with Shayna. I mean, I guess that was, like, one of her selling points, that she had to tag with Shayna, but, like, she was in the tag team division and also no one gave a fuck about.
At the end there. Which, the thing is that I wanted them to be paired up or feud or something. And they did end up feuding and they teamed and whatever. But it just wasn't, I don't know, nothing about that second run was what I wanted it to be. Like, the Charlotte feud was not good. I was expecting more from that. That sucked. You know, the team with Shayna, that sucked. She won the championship. Her reign sucked. The match and feud with Liv Morgan sucked. It just didn't really accomplish anything. The heel run, she was should have turned
well,
heel.
Well, the Liv Morgan feud was kind of like...
That was bad timing,
too. I'll let that one fly because it was, like, literally in the middle of, like, the Vince and Triple H kind of overlapping.
Correct. Yeah, we've brought that up before. Yeah.
Which Liv got boned in, but regardless. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like that... I don't really put that against her because I feel like it was two different, like... I don't know, it's like my idea and then mixing with your idea. If we have two totally opposite ideas, and it's just not going to come out, like, I don't know. The whole, like, book her to win, but, like, she kind of lost. Like, the whole thing with Liv and her was kind of stupid at the end of the day. But I also just, like I said, I think booking-wise, I was just two different people in two different thoughts at the time. So yeah. I don't really put too much blame against that.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was just bad timing. And that was when they turned her heel, too, and then they didn't really turn her heel, and it was a mess, and it just didn't really work, so... It was just one big disaster, and you know, I definitely, first of all, check out the interview that she did with Rex. Second of all, I can kind of see where she's coming from, and she's like, I have no intention of ever coming back. Well, listen, you came back once before, and it didn't really work out, so I think we can all safely say that we're not all that bothered by her comments as far as why she doesn't want to come back. And I hope it is a different culture there. I don't want to look past that either, because she talked about the culture and how misogynistic it is. I don't blame her one bit for thinking that or feeling that way, or if that is indeed the case when Vince was around currently. I don't know, because, I mean, but the thing is that she did work there when Vince was gone, not completely gone, and she mentioned that, oh, you know, she was still, Vince was still there through Bruce, which she's mentioned before, and again, I wouldn't put that past him for a second, but I don't know, it's hard to say how different it is now with Vince completely gone and Triple H completely in charge, but I did think her comments were interesting, though. That's going to do it, Mr. Marceau, for today's show for March 28th, 2024. New episodes every single Thursday on WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Amazon Music, and Pandora. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss a new episode every single Thursday. So we'll chop it up next week, Mr. Marceau, with WrestleMania predictions. Probably talk beforehand. I'll be on the road next week, so we'll figure something out with our schedules and record. But until then, though, I'm seeing you on Saturday, the Becky Lynch signing, and I can't wait.
Can't wait to see you, bro.
Long overdue, pal, and I'm looking forward to that pizza as well, and some ice cream on top of it, if your stomach can handle it, because I don't know if mine can.
Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it, pal. I'll catch you in a couple days.
All right, see you.
See you, dude.
Join Graham, GSM Matthews, and RJ Marceau every Thursday as they run down their weekly wrestling rants, offer expert analysis, host exclusive interviews, and more. Subscribe today on all your favorite podcast platforms and never miss an episode of Wrestle Rant Radio.